Thank you, for His kindness. It is so good to see you here today. Thankful that Beth is able to be here and to skip out early last week, but glad she's here today. Blessing to see Henry. Thank God for him being here. Has a lot going on in his life, waiting for test results. Ask you to pray and ask God to work and help and handle it by His power. I invite you again, go to Revelation chapter 21. Revelation chapter 21. We have been trying to look for some time at these verses. We have kindly used as our foundation of what was said in verse 5. It is said that He hath sat upon the throne, said, Behold, I make all things new. We have tried to let that be our foundation. We have thought about what John describes as a new heaven and a new earth. We also saw that John talked about a new city in verse 2. Last time we talked about the new community. These things want to be our main today. Wants to pop off and twist and turn. I would say the devil's got in it, like some would say. But I don't want to give him credit for anything. So we'll just say, God had his warped. Here's what's causing it. But anyway, we started talking about the new community. How that all the family of God will be together with Him. And the absence of grief, sorrows, and heartaches. But I realize that in the community, that there are some other things that John describes about that city. I want to notice Chester, you things today that we'll look at and we'll be done. First of all, notice him. First five and the first part of verse six that God tells us that it is going to be an amazing place. God has been seeing some astounding things. And he says in verse 5 in the latter part, and he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, it is done. As I thought about what was happening, I realized that back in the first chapter, verse 11, the Lord says to John, what thou seest, write in a book and send it to the seven churches which are in Asia. God has been faithful to write all that he has been seeing. But now in verse 5, it is the Lord saying again to John, write. It is almost like the Lord has get John's attention and say unto him, John, hey John, don't stop writing, but keep writing. I imagine with all that John is seeing, I guarantee you, John was astounded. John was amazed in all that he saw. I don't know how I would have been. Probably the same. I'd have probably forgot to write it down. I'd have been so captivated by what I was seeing. And that is what happens to John. So the Lord says to him, John, keep on writing. John has saw the horrors of the tribulation. John has, I'm going to lay this thing off here. John has saw all that was going to happen under the beast and the false prophet. John has seen how that God was bringing judgment on the land. But now, John sees heaven. John is thrilled because it is an amazing place. And the Lord says to John, it is done. That it is taking place. Everything that God's children have imagined, everything that God has promised, everything that we have read about, heard about, gotten excited about, God is saying, John, it's all done. All has come to pass. I realize that the one writing or telling John to write is the one that says, I have helped and to make up the beginning and the end. It is our Lord. He is the Alpha and Omega. He is the first and the last, the beginning and the end. He has told John everything promised is now being fulfilled. I want to tell you, everything God has said will come to pass. Every promise, every word, all will be fulfilled. Just like he says. Why? Because he is the beginning and the end. He is the one faithful and true. I'm glad it is all real. All going to happen. All is going to come to pass. Just like he says. Sometimes, I don't know how it is with you. Sometimes your devil comes by, whispers, and says, do you really think it's real? Oh, do you really think there's a heaven? Do you really think there is a day when all of that will take place? I'm glad I can tell that stinking liar that that's all you are, because he that is faithful and true, the Alpha and Omega, first and the last, the beginning and the end, has promised, has said, it is all going to be done. It is, Anna. Praising. Praise. Pantheon. Secondly, it is an satisfying place. I believe he is telling us there will be satisfying resources. Verse 6, I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of water of life freely. My mind takes me back to the book of Luke. We end up, Jesus tells the story of the rich man and Lazarus. Bible says that when the rich man died, in hell, he lifted up his eyes, being in torment. And he asked Father Abraham if Lazarus could dip his finger in water, cool his tongue, because he's tormented in those flames. I believe it is telling us of sufferings of being in hell. But now, just the opposite. He says, I will give unto him that is a thirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. I believe that it is saying to us that in heaven all desires of our heart will be satisfied in God. Will never thirst again. Will never suffer again. Will never hurt again. Will never be lonely again. Will never have a heartache again. I believe he is saying in heaven there are satisfying resources. But he also says that there will be a satisfying reward. Verse number 7. He that overcometh shall inherit all things. I realize that he has reminded us all in the scriptures that the saints of God are overcomers. Although there has been a life of pressure and difficulty, but in the end, We are overcomers in Christ. So now, he says, he hath overcome shall inherit all things. I realize Bible teaches that we are heirs of God, joint heirs with Jesus Christ. I'll be honest, my little mind can't fathom all that that means. I read this verse, think about what it says. I have to say, I stand amazed. Did you get what he said? He hath overcome it, shall inherit, shall be rewarded, shall receive all things. You let that soak in. All of heaven will be ours. All that God has, all that Christ has prepared, all that is involved in a new heaven, a new earth, a new city, all will be ours. I can't fathom that. I think of hell. What I have here. I think about the house that the church has graciously let us dwell in. I think about what I would honestly say that I possess. In the heart, but all of heaven one day will be ours. Why would God do such a thing? Because he loves us. Because he loves us. I think about Noah. When Noah stepped on the ark, when the Lord said to get inside, Noah left everything he had behind. Any house, any possessions, Noah stepped aside, stepped on the ark. But there came a day that Noah walked off that ark, and Noah owned it all. Everything was his. Thank God there's gonna come a day. We will say goodbye to this whole world. All that it has. One day we will step inside the city of God. And the Lord will say, all of this is yours. What a day. It is a satisfying reward. I don't think that we'll sit around and say, Lord, I had it so hard. But God, I suffered so much. And Lord, I just had such a meager amount. But I think we'll be glad to lay all that aside just to see Him. Just to experience heaven. All that God gives His saints in that day. But then there is another thing. There will be a satisfying relationship. He says, and I will be His God, and He shall be my son. I think about the amazing, satisfying relationship He is describing. I will put it like this. Did you notice the verse doesn't say, I will be His God and He will be my subject. Didn't say that. God didn't say, I will be His God, and He shall be my servant. Didn't even say that. He said, I will be His God, and He shall be my I believe that you can even stand older right there. What is saying, I'll be their God. They're going to be my child. I'm telling you things I can't fathom. I thank God I'm His child now. But I've got a lot of flaws. On my best day, I'm failing. On my best days, I fall short. But He still loves me. But can you imagine to stand in His presence when He calls us His child? And there's no more sin. There's no more failings. There's no more shortcomings. think about how wonderful it feels now to be his child. I can't imagine what it's going to be like in his presence. When I look on his face and he calls me his son, what a day. What a day. But then let me give you one other quickly. It's going to be an amazing place. Satisfying place. But it'll be in its exclusive place. He goes on, verse 8, but the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake of fire, which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Also notice verse 27. He says, and there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. Also, everyone isn't fighting to be there. God all will. Also, God has made salvation available to all. God all accepted. And he tells John that the fearful won't be there. Those who were too ashamed or afraid to trust in Christ, unbelieving, those without belief, outright rejection to accept Christ, the abominable. That word speaks of what stinks or is foul or putrid. Talking about the sinful lifestyle, how it is an abomination to the nostrils of God. Murders, that is intentional killing. Whether it's the taking of a life by our hands, or even abortion, murder. Then he said, whoremongers, talking about a sexually immoral lifestyle. And then sorcerers, that connects with the spirit world of demons. Talking about black magic. They're talking about astrology, witchcraft, satanic worshippers. But it also is a word from which our word pharmacy comes from. So that would tie it to drug use. He says, idolaters, those who worship the creature rather than the creator. Then he says, all liars. He said that one again in verse 27. Something that maketh a lie. He is indicating those who are deceivers, those who are insincere, living falsehoods, deceiving others. That sounds like the work of Satan, the beast, and the false prophet. Did not Jesus himself say that Satan is a liar and the father of it? John is told heaven is an exclusive place because those sin and those sinners will be there. John says they'll have their place in the lake of fire that burneth with fire and brimstone. Then he says, which is the second death? Second death. Preacher, what is that? The first death has to do with this old body ceasing to live. Physical death. Second death is the eternal banishment from God forever and ever. Thank God I'll never face the second death. There may come a time if Jesus doesn't come soon, I may face the first death. But I don't have to worry. I'll never face the second death. Can you imagine a place where there is, of course, no sickness or sorrows or pain or troubles, heartaches? They'll be gone. But can you imagine a place where there are no sinners, no sin, no wickedness, no violence? I is everywhere. It isn't just in the major cities. It's in our communities, our neighborhoods, our neighbors. Sometimes we hear of things happening just near our houses. But there's coming a day we'll dwell in a place of safety. No sin and no sinners. Satisfying place to live. I can't imagine why anybody wouldn't want to go there. I can't imagine why people are willing to live their life here without a hope of heaven. I want to tell you, there are multitudes that are unbelieving, fearful, filled with sin and wickedness and ungodliness, and care nothing about heaven. But I'm headed that way. Can't help but believe that it's closer than we all realize. I can't help but believe if I live my natural life, I really believe I'll see Jesus come. I think Chris said that the other Sunday. I've heard others of you say it. I really believe if I live a natural life, I believe I'll see him come again. But if not, if he calls me home, I say don't weep for me, because I'll be really living on the other side. I'm glad heaven's real. I'm glad my hope is real. But do you have it? Do you know him? Are you ready? He would call you home today. Are you ready to meet the Lord? Brother Kevin, I'll let you give us a song while we stand, while we sing a song of invitation. There may be a need in your heart, something drawing you to him. Why not come today while we stand? While we stand. 207.